You're listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast on KSVG 89.7 FM, Savage Radio, City of License, Mettler, California.
Sheets.
I am
Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with Todd.
You say funny things.
You're listening to the radio edition of the Sofa King podcast here on Savage Radio, KSVG 89.7 FM.
Yo, yo.
How you
your
doing?
Voice is so smooth.
Is
You're
it?
Made for radio, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially, especially your face. It was really made for radio.
That's what you got told.
I know, I did. That happened. I tried to push it on you.
I look way better than I sound.
I think I'm pretty neutral. I think I sound about as good as I look, which isn't to say much of anything.
I'm like the sad pants over there.
I'm like the.
I'm really neutral. My voice and my face is kind of neutral.
I'm the Bruce Jenner of radio.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You figure it out. What it mean to you?
Yeah, it means something different to everyone.
I'm a tranny.
Something. Oh, is that what it means?
Is it?
No.
So what are we talking about today? Ladies.
Identity theft.
Identity theft and credit card fraud is our topic.
Anybody here have the credit card compromised or anything? Any personal experience?
Yes.
Freaking constantly. Like I mean, it used to be a rare occurrence I would hear about something, but I would say probably now twice a year, I just get a letter in the mail with a new credit card that says your old credit card has been compromised. Here's a new credit card. Change all your auto payments because your old one is dead immediately. Like that probably happens twice a year.
I feel like the times it's happened to me, it was the bank got compromised or something though. There was one time though, our business card got compromised and someone went to Kohl's and Verizon on a shopping spree. So that did happen, but it wasn't my personal thing. It was a business thing and it got stopped. I think I lost like $100.
And it happened to my wife when her purse got stolen. And by the morning, there were, you know, hundreds of dollars of charges all over town using her cards, gas stations, just like everything. But I mean, we didn't end up being on the hook for any of it.
Right.
I mean, all of it was paid for by that. I mean, and that's one of the things I know that federal law and so forth, as long as you report the card stolen in a timely manner, I think the law states that you can only be held accountable for $50 per account for any fraudulent activity, and the rest has to be eaten by either the bank or the merchant. And it's usually about 60% or so from what I read. The bank itself has to pony up whatever that fraud was, and then the other 30 to 40% is paid for by the stores and the merchants. And when I think of a place like, you know, Target or Walmart, you know, having fraud hit them and they have to pay the bill, I really don't care. I laugh because they're billionaires. But when I think of like a small mom and pop store, if they're suddenly on the hook for some dude's $100 thing, that seems like they don't. I mean, Walmart's never going to lose a dime because they've got insurance that pays for all of it anyway, and it's all just a big joke. But like if that much of it, if 30 to 40% has to be paid by merchants, I think of small merchants and I think that must really suck for them, you know?
Yeah, I think the small merchants though probably get hit a lesser percentage
than the big places. Think of the level of, you know, how many cards and stuff are getting compromised, and then how many people, you know, frauders use them at Walmart. Like, probably millions upon millions of dollars, yeah. You know, or billions. Like, who knows?
Like, I wonder how many people just do, like, credit card fraud, since you said it was, like, a federal law. Like, they just go buy a bunch of stuff and call in the morning and go, like, oh, someone took my card.
Oh, I'm sure it happens all the time.
Like, MacBook.
Yeah. I'm sure there's people that don't even realize it for, like, a few weeks. You know, if you have a bunch of money in there and all of a sudden you can't use your card.
Right. But, they do investigate. Like, if you did it yourself, I mean, an investigator is going to get involved, and there's a good chance you'd be hit for, like, federal fraud charge. And the stat on it that I read, and this was for 2012, and I know it's a higher stat now, but the most up-to-date accurate stat I could find was 2012, that in America only credit card frauds were $11.2 billion.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. That's, like, enough. That's, like, what a good corporation makes. Like, a good-sized corporation.
I have to say, I'm super paranoid now. Like, I feel like I'm going to, like, we're going to get done talking, and you guys are going to make me more scared with whatever you found, and I'm going to go sign up for, like, LifeLock immediately.
This happens every episode.
Yeah. I'm just in a closet not drinking milk.
We're talking about ghosts today. I have a feeling, guys, that after we talk, I'm going to be really paranoid when I go to bed tonight.
I have, like, the two-week hype where it fades away. Yeah. I'm, like, I'm all prepped. My backpack's ready.
I do have a...
Sleeping with my gun.
It didn't come to fraud, but this was a story that I will share because it says something about my state of mind. This was years ago. I went to Vallarta Market to buy nasty Mexican candy for my wife and to buy a 12-pack of Coke. Those were the two things on my shopping list. Nasty Mexican.
You went to the right place.
I went to the right place. Nasty Mexican candy. Like, I don't know, like tamarind, chili mango, like just pure nastiness. I don't know how anyone can eat it. It's disgusting to me.
He just pissed a bunch of people off.
But I know, I take a firm stance on nasty tamarind, mango, chili lime candy.
I've tried that stuff. Yeah, it's not for me.
Those are things that don't equate candy.
Well, that's the same thing as the mayonnaise, corn, chili powder, corn on the cob.
Now that is legit.
I don't think so.
It tastes good, but the thought of it is gross to me. But, like, I went ahead and tried it, and it's good.
I spent years avoiding that, like, just watching my roommate eat those things.
And smother
the
mayonnaise.
Oh my God, how can you eat that? And then he finally talked me into eating it, and I was like, I have to admit that was delicious.
But it's like, I get scared. Like, is that spoiled mayonnaise? It's like hot mayonnaise?
No, if I want it, well, A, I make it myself because I have vegan mayonnaise and vegan butter, but I make it myself and it's delicious.
That sounds even worse.
Then, oh, it does. So
vegan mayonnaise, vegan butter, vegan chili.
What's in
powder.
Vegan mayonnaise? Just vegetable oil? I wonder what's in there.
Human.
Mostly, people.
Human fats.
Soylent green.
Soylent green.
Made of people. Human, human fats, mostly. Lipids.
Vegetable
lipids.
Number five.
There are all the gimps in the world that gather them up and just make mayonnaise out of them.
So I go to Vallarta, and I'm a paranoid person. Anytime I get bumped into, I check my pocket where my wallet is. Always do. Someone bumps into me,
You carry your wallet in the front pocket or back pocket?
I carry my wallet in – I normally wear cargo pants, so I carry it in my cargo pants pocket. This day,
some midgets are stealing your wallet when they bump into you.
Well, this time it was at night. We were gonna binge watch something on Netflix. I had my wallet. I was wearing a gray hoodie, so I had it in my central pocket. In my hoodie is where my wallet and my keys were. And some cat bumps into me, and I didn't like. I kind of reached to where my wallet should be, and I'm like, "Oh, I'm not wearing cargo pants." And then I just left it alone and kept walking. And I grab my stuff. I go to check out. My wallet's not there. And I'm like, whoever this guy was, that son of a bitch stole my wallet. So I look. I can't find it. I talk to the manager, and he's like laughing at me. You know, he's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, when we find your wallet, we'll call you. It's you're never going to. So I'm like, man. And I leave. I go back. I get home and I immediately just start canceling all my credit cards, like immediately. And my wife, Erica, she's like, I'll go find it. And she like drives to Vallarta to start scouring the aisles to look for it. And I'm thinking, okay, it's gone. So
if it was on the ground, it's gone.
It's gone.
If somebody didn't take it.
She was even hoping like, I'll find it in the parking lot. Everything, you know, your cards and money are gone, but maybe your AAA card and your license is still there.
I wish people would do that. If they're going to take the money and leave the stuff or go turn it in.
Right. Just leave me the rest. But anyway,
take what you need.
I'm canceling all my cards and realizing what a pain this is going to be. And I'm going to have to change all my auto payments and all this stuff. And all of a sudden there's a knock at my door and I go over and I open my front door and this, I open the front door and there's a, there's a white van parked in front of my house and the side door is open. And the first thing I notice is that it is a van full of nuns. This, swear to God, there's a van full of nuns parked in front of my house. And there's like this 5 foot tall Hispanic nun hugging a body pillow standing at my front door. These are details that are real. And wow. I'm standing here thinking at this moment, maybe God does exist. Like God realized my wallet was stolen and had a nun find it, get my ID and drive to my house and bring it to me. And I'm like, I can't believe this. This is fantastic.
I hope they just ask for directions.
Yes. She speaks to me in Spanish. I have no idea what she's saying. Another nun gets out of the car and in really rough English, she just asks for the street and it's like a street over. And apparently they were just here doing Catholic work and they were just at the wrong house.
Oh,
and
man.
Then they got in the car and drove away, which actually made me think God exists more than it would have if my wallet showed back up. Because then it makes God like, oh, I'm going to have his wallet get stolen. Then I'm going to make a nun show up so he gets excited. Then the nuns are going to say they're at the wrong house and they're going to leave.
Yeah, that's pretty
good.
That's
my guess. So, but I had to cancel home. That was the first time I ever had to cancel all my cards and everything.
It's my kind of God,
right? Yeah, exactly. But I didn't get fraud, but I had to cancel everything. And that's a huge pain. And I thought it was a worthy story of sharing.
So a guy really pickpocketed you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Full on.
Saturday
night in Vallarta.
I thought that just happened on movies in New York on the subway.
I kind of equated identity theft, and I guess it could happen to anybody at any time, like for any reason, really, because all of our information is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's information is out there. You can find it if you have a name and a phone number, and you know what I mean? You can start getting details about the people. But I kind of equated it to like people who get viruses on their computers all the time. Like if you're constantly getting viruses and not knowing that you're getting those viruses – and I'm not talking bad about anybody because there are people who just don't know how to use computers all that well. But I think if you equate identity theft to that, you're kind of oblivious in the sense of what you're getting into. If you're not prepared with your things, you're throwing away credit card statements and you're throwing away stuff in the trash that's not shredded. You know what I mean? New credit card offers. And, you know, you're kind of not taking care of that end of your life. You know, that financial aspect of keeping everything kind of in check, checking your bank account. I don't have any money anyway. So go ahead and, if you steal my identity, I think you screwed yourself. But
I think
take that bankruptcy.
Those junk mail credit card things, I hate it because it's like an opportunity for it to happen. I'm like, stop sending me this stuff.
And
like,
I get three a day that I have to shred.
Yeah. So, I mean, and those are, I kind of equated it to viruses on a computer. You know what I mean? Like if you stay away from certain things and doing certain activities, you're probably less likely. I'm not going to say you're not likely, but you're less likely to have something serious happen.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that's the new way for the breach. That's a new way for it to happen. But there's like old school dudes. Like I watched a cool, I think it was a Vice. It was like How to Steal or something was what it's called. It was a Vice guide. And there was this British guy that he used to do that. That's what he did. But he went to jail and served some time. And when he came out, he did the whole, I used to be a criminal. Now I'm going to start a company.
I'm going to help you guys.
Yeah, that helps everybody see how this happens.
Yeah.
And it was super interesting. Like he literally just went and stole a bunch of garbage. I think it was from like a shred place that like the dude wasn't getting paid right or something. And so he's like, hey, I'll give you $1,000 for all those bags. And the dude's like, yeah, he just gave them to him, didn't shred them. And so they sit there and sort through it. And they found the big thing was mortgage applications. Because it had their passport, their driver's license, their social security number. It had everything that you would need.
People just threw that away?
No, it was in like a shred bag, but the guy who was the driver for like the company or whatever sold the information. Yeah. And so they had everything.
Those people are thinking they're doing it right, you know, right. like getting the
They're
stuff.
Trying to yeah. shred it, but it's still getting breached.
Those were businesses that were supposed to be.
Yeah, like I have a shred bin right. yeah. and they give you a shred certificate that says it's shredded, you know, they yeah. put in this truck, it gets a lock tag on it that's tagged with a number that goes on the paper. So like at my business, like nothing, I mean, a sticker, a piece of paper that's handwritten, if it has anything on it, it goes in that shred bin. And yeah. apparently they supposedly shred it unless you're in London. They sell
well,
it to somebody.
I've watched them out in front. They actually throw it in the
yeah,
shredder.
Some of
right
them get shredded curbside. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
But this guy was able to get a passport, and then they had like all these computers set up, and he would just print like a PG&E bill. He'd print a utility bill because they had like the template. You got to think about how easy that is. Yeah. Like, you know, if
well,
someone
just,
has a
if
know-how,
you have your own, you just go and change it.
Yeah, he just yeah. like that's just probably scanned, and then they delete yep. Joe Smith and yep. put the name in there.
Yep.
So then he went around, he made a passport, they made a driver's license, they made a utility bill, and then he just went to jewelry stores and bought Rolex watches, like wow. with the camera crew following, just like wow. bought watches. And now he has this thing that he can sell for $12,000 and take the cash.
Yeah.
It was insane. I couldn't believe how easy that was, because when you go to the store, it's just some like 18 or 24 year old, you know, girl or kid or whatever that doesn't, they're not trained to know that guy, he has the right
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
he had the things yeah. you need for the application.
Yeah. Most times they don't ask you for your ID when you're paying with a credit card. I mean,
well, and, just to apply for credit at those places, yeah. you only needed a utility bill, your driver's license, and then fill the app out yeah. with your social security, and they approved them right
well,
there.
The thing is, though, you said they're not trained. They are trained. If I'm trained to look at an ID, look at this piece of documentation and look at this before I give it to you, and you have the ID
you had
with
it, yeah.
your name. I mean, you have yeah. everything
They're
I'm trained
They're going around
to look
the training.
For.
Yeah.
It's just that you forged
for sure.
all
it's
of
legit,
it.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
mean, I did my job yeah. as the store clerk. You just outdid my job.
There was, they said on some days they would send like up to 18 to 20 guys to the places that they knew it worked, because like that person's still on shift and they had all these IDs ready, and they would just be like, hey, you go now, you go now, you go. And they had this whole crew that would just go get credit and then buy some crazy thing for their wife or whatever, or a watch. And then they just take all those goods back and sell them for cash.
And that's that poor crazy. Person at the counter
probably got fired.
He's killing it.
And like they got fired.
Because he's like, yeah. you know, on commission. And he's like, dude, I sold 8 Rolexes today.
Yeah, but how do you like, get fired? Ugh. Like if the ID matches the credit card and the person's
yeah.
there.
I don't know what
it,
you do when it's that legit.
Like
that, yeah.
You're just like, I checked the ID. Everything looked legit. I sold them the stuff. Like,
so for me, that's the credit. That's like the identity theft that I had an idea of going into this. I was yeah. like, oh, I could see that happening. They dig through your trash. You get a virus on your computer. They get your password or something.
Yeah.
But what was surprising to me is medical identity theft, or the fact that a bunch of them prey on children. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I heard that that foster children were more likely to be the targets of identity theft.
Well, because kids under 18 have no credit. They just have clean social security. Yeah. So I guess they go after that.
Okay, so my parents, deadbeats, you know, my grandma started getting credit card offers for my sisters.
Oh, wow.
Well, my sisters were in high school.
And your parents were doing it?
Well, because they had phones and their names. You know right. what I mean? Like you ring up your phone bill and it's like $900 or $1,000 and you can't pay it. So what do? Oh, use my kids. Use
oh,
my
right.
kid's name Ugh. On the phone bill. And then now we have a phone again, and guess what? Guess who's getting credit card offers at the house? You know,
and
like,
it started out as an innocent thing. Like, we need a phone. Well, we
no,
can
it's
do
not
this.
Innocent. They're just idiots. But that's a whole nother story. We can talk about that. But you know, like that's just like something I would never do to my kids.
No way.
Because like, what the crazy thing would? Well, actually, I worked with a guy, and this was a long time ago. But I want to say he adopted his brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
Because his parents were just not there, you know. So he adopted his brother and sister, did a legal adoption. That way he could, you know, do everything for them. And they moved in with him. And they were actually in the system. Well, he got them back. They moved in with him. And then it was either PG&E or the phone company shut him off. Or both. It was crazy. They shut his power off, or they shut his phone off, or one or the other. And it was because the kids lived with him, because the kids in their name had outstanding bills with the company.
That's crazy.
Oh, weird.
And it was like something like a couple grand. Like it was like just a ran up bill, never got paid. They found out somehow that they lived with him. Maybe he applied for some kind of credit or something. I don't know. But they shut the service off because those kids were like 9 and 11 or something.
That's
like
crazy.
That.
Like, I mean, you shouldn't have the right to shut service off if there's 3 40-year-olds living in a room and if I'm the one paying the bill in this house,
yeah,
you
exactly.
shouldn't care
yeah.
what anyone but, else
yeah,
in the
that,
house
and,
has.
And that happened. I thought it was weird, but like that happened because, and I forget the whole story. Like I said, it was a long time ago, but that just came up into my head that they moved in with him and they shut service
that's
off
weird.
Because they had
I don't know if that's
bills.
Totally legit. I mean, I agree that probably happened, but I don't know if that's legal, you know?
No, I don't know.
The scariest one I saw was the form of criminal identity theft, and it's where someone has like a fake ID but with your name on it, and then they get pulled over or commit a crime, and then they present that identification, and it goes on your criminal record.
That's, that's like when we used to ride bikes around our skateboard, we get a ticket from the cops for like not wearing a helmet or something, and you always tell them you don't have an ID. And then they'll always, you know, search your serial number on your bike, you know, and run them or whatever. And then you give them a fake name and address. So you never got tickets.
Right.
I probably had 50 tickets, man.
Wow.
And we just give them a fake name.
You started young.
Yeah, I'd be like, well, we don't carry ID when we're riding because you'll lose it, you know.
And well, what's so crazy is if they make the fake ID, like the name exists, it's just the wrong picture, right? And if the cop uses it right then, it goes in the system. They don't look at it again. That's it. It's in the system. Even if you went to jail, like if you went to the county jail, stayed overnight in the drunk tank, served time, got
a DUI.
They're going to
call you by another name.
Yeah. That guy takes off. It wasn't him. He did the time, got out of jail, went home as whatever his real name is. And then a little bit later, you get pulled over for a taillight and you have warrants for your arrest, failures to appear, like a suspended license.
Yeah.
You'll get arrested. And how do you argue that? You go, that wasn't me. And they're like, how are they going to care? How are they, like, what ground do you have to stand on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, no, you served time in the whatever jail, like for 3 days and you have this criminal record. This was you, your driver's license number.
You're like, nope. Let me see the driver's license.
So what process do you have to go through to get that fixed? Can you imagine like how horrible that would be if that happened?
Yeah. My advice,
get an attorney.
And I'm not joking here, is if that happened to you, I honestly think your best ally would be social media.
It's to say where you were at
because
or something?
If you had to prove, like, look, you say I was in jail for these 4 days.
True.
I posted 3 times a day on my Facebook account. Here's a picture of me with the Vegemite I made. Here's a picture of my dog sleeping. Yeah. These are the dates that I posted it on. I can't change what Facebook says.
Yeah, that's actually a good point of where Facebook's,
someone could log in, though, Facebook's, and post a picture.
But if I'm in jail for 4 days, like, I'm just saying, if you were at that court level saying this isn't me, like, I mean, there's also a good chance there's a picture of you. It's like, look, here's me on this date.
Yeah.
Like,
they use it to prosecute people, so you could use it, you know,
it's pretty easy to fake that, though. You could take some pictures with Vegemite and then have Erica post it while you're in jail. Like, with your one phone call, be like, hey, man, like, can you post this right now?
It's this, like,
but why would you do that, though? You don't stand to gain anything for, like, I'm already in jail.
So that you could dispute it later, so that you could have the dispute. So you could say later it didn't happen.
The issue is they're already prosecuting people using their Instagram and Facebook. So why couldn't you?
It doesn't always work both ways. Like, just because they say, well, the cop said you did this and you said you didn't, they're still going to take the cop's side.
Yeah.
Always.
So you got to kill the cops. That's your best thing to do.
That's one thought process.
I'm just saying it's at least something that would hedge your bet towards.
So I want to know, though, because I don't feel the Vegemite. Like, what's up?
You don't like Vegemite?
The Vegemite.
I've never had
it. It's a nice spread.
It's an Australian spread,
and it's supposed to be horrible.
It's fermented yeast paste.
It's bitter.
It's really salty and kind of, because I had heard everybody says it's awful, and then I actually just recently saw there was a clip on the Tonight Show and Jimmy Fallon had been talking crap about Vegemite, and Hugh Jackman came on because he's from Australia and he was like, Vegemite's delicious, you're just not eating it right.
Yeah.
And he made it with him on that. You can find the clip online.
Okay.
But he makes it and they make toast and then they butter it and then you put like the smallest
just
amount of Vegemite on it. And it tastes good. And I put too much on mine. So like the bites where I didn't have that much on it, I was like, no, that's actually pretty good. And then the next bite, I would just be like, eek. And I still didn't think I put too much.
Is it like sweaty
really
sake?
Salty. it almost tastes like briny, oceany, salty. It's just like this really salt, pungent weirdness. Like it's a weird thing.
It's a thing. It's Australian culture. Like the kids grow up eating Vegemite.
I always thought it was like peanut butter when I heard it. I thought it was more like that.
It's not sweet at all.
What I mean, I tasted it. I was like, I don't know that I'm going to keep putting this in any on my toast because it's pretty powerful and it's a pretty acquired taste. But it is a good flavor. I think like this winter when it cools off, please, dear God, let it be winter and cool off.
Yeah.
I'll probably put like a spoonful of Vegemite in a soup. And I think like it would sort of be the equivalent of adding like a bouillon cube. It's kind of like you're scraping bouillon on a piece of toast is what it's like.
You eat some weird stuff though, so I don't trust that scenario.
Yep, it's weird. It's a weird item. It's salty.
I would try it.
But it's super, super healthy.
And you can't buy it here for some reason, right?
I don't think you can.
It's like a thing. It's like banned.
I don't think they import it here.
Yeah, I don't.
But I think it's because you're not allowed to or something. There's some weird thing, yeah.
Well, I have a big health. If you ever want to try it, I've got.
I will try it, yeah.
I've got like 20 years.
I should have told you to bring it so you could try it here.
Did your wife bring it back with her?
Yeah.
From Australia?
Bring it next round and we'll try it here.
I'll bring it next
live,
round.
Yeah.
We'll just need a toaster and some bread.
Well, Brad's looking up the banning of Vegemite. The next type of identity theft that I read about was called synthetic identity theft.
Yeah, I think it is banned.
It is,
Is it really?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm a criminal.
smooth
criminal.
FDA Vegemite ban. But that was in 2006. Maybe it's still banned.
It must be a, as far as I know, fermented yeast or something. Yeah, that doesn't. Probably because FDA didn't get paid for some label.
No, that's probably exactly it. They're probably like, I'm not jumping through all the hoops to change my factory and the way I make this stuff just so I can sell it in the States where no one's going to eat it anyway.
Yeah.
You could probably make a farmer's market version that's homemade that will like supersede all weird FDA rules because it's homemade or something. Yeah.
Fermented salty yeast.
One stinky bedroom in your house and you could have a salty yeast factory. what I was saying was the synthetic identity theft, and that's where it's like the cool new hybrid one. So that's where they take an existing social security number, I can't talk, and they attach a completely false identity to it and create a whole new thing. And it's weird because it doesn't generally affect the person with the social. It creates a new line of credit somehow. I'm not really sure how it happens, but it's the nicer form of identity theft because it doesn't usually impact the individual that you're stealing from. So I don't know how that is, though.
Splitting it off.
It's so you're like a financial clone.
It's because you use a different name. It'd be like if I took your social, but I didn't use your name. I used a different name.
None of your information. Yeah.
And filled out an application and made a PG&E bill and made all these things that tied your social to a different name. So the good thing for you is that later you're like, well, that's not me. That is my social, but it's not me. And then the new person, if the creditors issue the credit, it's only hurting like the credit companies.
Right.
So, and you know, PG&E or whatever they got away with. That's kind of the cool way. That's the nice way.
Nicer way.
Right. It doesn't hurt.
If I turn to the dark side with my new monitors, that's the way I'm going. It'll be synthetic. Yeah. I'll try it on you guys first since it doesn't hurt.
Because it sucks. It's like, I mean, the worst case scenario that I've seen happen to a couple of different people is, you know, you get a breach on your account and if it happens, I mean, it happens. Like if one of my credit cards, if I suddenly got a thing that said there was a breach and this card was frozen and whatever, it's not really that big a deal. But if it happens to a card that's like your ATM / Visa card to your like main checking account, you're screwed.
It just happened to me. Like it was rough.
It happened it happened to a friend of mine and it was the day after payday someone did it. So he went to start paying all his bills and looked in his account and there was $0 and he was overdrafted by like a grand. And the bank was like, look, you know, this is legit. None of this is your, you know, we're going to do it or whatever. We just have to complete an investigation.
Yeah.
It's going to take 2 to 3 weeks. So he was hosed like he had no money and, you know, and he gets paid once a month. So he had to just suck it for that month until he finally got his money back.
That's a good point. Like it causes an inconvenience by the security measures you have to put in place for some of that stuff. Like I've had like my last card that just got compromised. I don't even think it got compromised. We just went camping. We went to the beach. And so I went and got gas and then I moved a little further from home and got gas and then we bought some dinner and then we got a hotel and it was unusual activity based on some algorithm and it was a mess. Like I don't think anyone took my card.
No, that I'm trying to think. My bank, when that happens to me, they send me an email. So like, say I go out of town and I'm spending or doing something.
I was camping though, and I couldn't answer. That's probably what happened.
That's what I'm saying though. Like, they most times, yeah, I guess if you're in an area where you don't
have no signal. Well,
they didn't call me. I would get an email. So it'll say, hey, you know, blah, 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 blah. These five purchases were made on your card. And then if it was you and you accept, you know, these charges, click okay, you know, or click agree or whatever.
Which is great. There.
Yeah. And it does help. But in the event that it wasn't you, your money's still gone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
somebody they refunded just though. Like Dave was saying, they give it back.
Well, they give it back, but I mean, it takes time.
Well, so and I got back from camping, and like I had to get a new card, and it was drama, kind of like your friend. Like I didn't have access to my money. I had luckily I had a sub account attached to it, so I could get in and transfer money over to the other account to get to it. But it was a super pain, and I had to go and contact like 15 different places, like PG&E, Arrowhead Water, the water company, my insurance, my car insurance, my liability insurance, like business related things, all kinds of paid services stuff, that I have, my PayPal, my eBay account, my Amazon card, everything had to get changed.
When I went to Oregon this last summer and I went to buy groceries the first day I was there, and I went to make my purchase and my credit card was declined. And I'm tripping and I'm like, I just paid like a lot of money on this card. I know there's room on this card. Like what's going, and I'm suddenly nervous because I'm like, we're pretty much planning on putting everything we do on this vacation on this card. So I look, et cetera, but, and I used a different card. But then when I got into the car, because my sister-in-law was driving, I looked at the card and I had an email from American Express and it said, someone just tried to buy groceries with your card. We stopped it. If this was you, click yes. And basically the email said, if you are out of town and you click this, we now know that you're out of town. And it advised anytime you're more than a couple of hundred miles away from your hometown, you should call us and ahead let us time. Know. And then you're not going to have any problems.
Yeah. So I really think that's what happened. And then it sucks. I had to wait for a new card to get issued. It got issued. I did all that. And then when I got to Target to buy underwear with my brand new card that they upgraded to some security chip, then it wouldn't let me do it. I was on super lockdown and I had rode my bike 15 miles to buy underwear, which is a crazy weird thing to do. But I was like stuck. I was like, dang it. And then they declined my card three times. I had to walk to the Target ATM, pay $4 in surcharges, get home with my underwear only to answer email security questions and a bunch of crap saying, yes, I bought Walmart or I bought Target underwear. Yes. Yes. Jeez. All right.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a break. You're listening to the Sofa King podcast on Savage Radio.
Pyrenees Cafe, Basque Restaurant, 601 Sumner Street, open daily 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., 323-0053.
Norris Barbershop, Oildale's full-service barbershop, family-oriented, specializing in men and boys haircuts. Hours are Monday through Friday, 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., located at 316 Norris Road, 393-5601.
Brian Smog and Automotive, Old Style Automotive Repair Shop, specializing in smog check and repair. Brian Smog and Automotive offers general automotive repair, timing belt replacements, general maintenance and service, as well as electrical diagnostic and related repairs to give customers peace of mind to drive in a fast-paced world. They are located at 615 East 21st Street. The number is 321-0505.
Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Sofa King podcast here on Savage Radio. And today's topic is credit card fraud, identity theft, and ways that people are ripping off your numbers and data and information. The one thing that I had heard of this and I was kind of paranoid about it. And then I did a little bit more research as we were prepping for the show, because I know that there's things called ATM skimmers. and their devices that they'll insert in or near an ATM or a gas pump. A lot of times it seems there's a lot of it in Bakersfield for some reason happening at gas pumps, I think, more than ATMs.
Yeah, that's where I heard of it at.
I think gas pumps are safer because there's not a camera directly on every gas pump like there is an ATM, so it's going to be easier to install it, whatever. But the idea of the skimmer, whether it's on a gas pump or an ATM machine, is that you put something in or on the machine that will capture your data. So the most rudimentary one, and the ones that I first heard about being on gas stations, are actually little pinhole cameras that can see the front of the machine. So when you're holding your card and getting ready to stick it in the slot, it's already taken a picture of all the numbers on there. And then when you enter your PIN number, it watches you enter your PIN number. So if it's a camera one, it's fairly easy to just kind of have your thumb over your number when you stick the credit card in and they're not going to see it. Just kind of take your wallet or your hand and cover it up when you enter your PIN number. They're not going to see it. But that's what I've done since I started seeing those stories and I felt better about myself. But when I started researching it more recently, I was like, oh, damn, that's not good enough, like, because they're much better than that now. And the thing is, I saw a lot of pictures of skimmers, and there's only certain models of ATMs, right? I mean, they make 100 of them or whatever. So the people who make skimmers will know this is what this piece of plastic that fits on an ATM looks like. And then they reproduce that exact piece of plastic. So like the plastic part where you insert your card, they pop it off and pop a new one on. And it's not a camera.
And they might work there. It could be an ex-employee. It could be the guy who puts those together in the factory. Right, yeah. Right.
So when you put your card in, it's magnetically scanning the data on your card. So there's everything. No camera involved. Yeah. It just gets your credit card number and it gets them in bulk. So the other thing is, these are fairly labor intensive because you have to put the device on and not get caught.
Right.
And then you have to wait for it to gather enough cards, and then you have to go get it back off so you have the actual material. So it's not something that some, you know, idiot can do. It takes a certain amount of sophistication, and then that made me feel a little bit better. But then what made me feel even worse is that the people who are really good at it, if you get on the dark net, right, what do they call it? The Tor network. Yeah. If you get on the Tor network, you can rent from people ATM skimmers. So they make them. They have them set to text. So every time a credit card gets scanned, it just texts a phone. So if you don't know what you're doing, all you have to be able to do is insert it on the ATM, and everything that gets scanned, as soon as money starts getting generated from it, 50% of the money just appears in an account on your behalf from the hacker who's actually doing all of it.
How much does it cost to rent it? Why would the hacker even mess with that? It seems like it's
because
why would
then
he
it's
just skim
free
it?
Money.
Yeah, but
then it's some dude in Winnipeg.
Oh, because he got you to go put the skimmer on the machine.
He got you to put the skimmer on the machine.
Yeah. He's got contractors. He's getting a
you've
cut.
You've taken all the risk of going out and your face on the camera, you getting caught hacking the machine. And now in a city I don't even live in, I'm getting credit card data and I just got to dump some money in this guy's account every so often.
I think it's almost, I mean, it's rare that I would go to one of those weird little ATMs. Like I don't generally ever pull money out of an ATM. Do you guys go to ATMs?
I usually try and go to the bank. If I had to have cash,
I would go to the bank. Or I would use the bank ATM if
that's
there's one
mean.
Around.
Yeah.
But like, or if you're out of town, sometimes weird things happen where you're like,
well, it happens at bank ATMs. It doesn't just happen
at the real bank.
At the real bank. I mean, one of the pictures I saw.
Probably less likely though, I bet.
There was a picture of four, I want to say it was Wells Fargo ATMs in a row at a Wells Fargo. And they were showing it because where you insert the card, there's like this green glowing LED light where you insert the card.
Yeah.
And on one of them, there was no green glowing LED light. And all that someone's going to do is walk up and think the LED light burned out.
Right.
There's nothing. But it was because that was the one that had the skimmer on it. And it was right there on a bank, on the wall.
Right.
Just like,
so go inside.
Just like,
I saw a talk or like an interview with a guy who, he was some kind of security analyst, and he went out and got machines. So that brings up another point. Some people actually buy the ATM machine take their time in their garage or whatever, modifying it. And then they just go place it in a location where it has access to internet. Like they just set it outside of a shopping center for the day and see if they get anything. So they, it like hooks up to Starbucks Wi-Fi, and then people walk by and go, oh, an ATM, how convenient, and throw their card in there, which I think most people are probably sketched out by, unless you found a real sweet spot, or maybe you go talk to a store and they tell them, hey, you get 15%.
I think that a lot of people are oblivious to anything.
People just trust an ATM machine.
Yeah, it seems secure.
It's got all those stupid card logos on it.
Buy an ATM and put it in the parking lot for the day. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that doesn't seem like that would happen. Yeah. Right? That's your alibi. So the guy, it was really interesting. He bought two different types of ATMs. It took him like 8 months or something, or 18 months. I can't remember. But he went through and looked at the logic board and the software, and he's a programmer, and he figured out what you could do and what the security vulnerabilities were. The coolest one was that they leave open a back door to issue out security updates so that the company that runs the ATMs and owns the ATM company can log in from the back and put security updates in. Mm-hmm. But that door that they leave open for the security updates is what he used to go in and then just upload his own software. So it's funny. He's like, watch this. And he uploaded it, and it turned into like a Las Vegas slot machine and went sevens across the front of the ATM after he logged in and did his thing. And it just dumped all the money on the ground. It just started spitting 20s out on the ground. And he did it remotely from a laptop. So he didn't have to go put a skimmer on it. He didn't have to do anything. And he said the thing was, now that he knows that software, that is the software on like 70% of the ATMs, because they have a proprietary software that runs those ATMs that all the companies that manufacture them use.
Yeah.
And then the other one was more like what you were saying, the same key for those ATMs, it's the same lock. It's on all of them. If you have one of those keys, it will open that ATM.
And that's where all the money is.
That's like a vending machine.
It didn't let you get to the money part, though. That key is only held by like the armed guard guys. But that key that you can open all the ATMs with drops the front down and gives you access to the motherboard, though, and all the wires where you could hook something up and flash the firmware and then upload your own software if you physically wanted to take the risk.
Right.
But he figured out how to do it just calling out remotely to the ATM, logging in and changing the software.
That's crazy.
And it would just spit out.
So, I mean, my advice, and I try to do this myself, whenever possible, when I pull up at a gas station and I'm looking right at the super convenient thing right next to my face where I can swipe a card, go inside and pay.
Right.
Like, go inside and pay. There's not a skimmer in. No one snuck in and put one at the cash register. And odds are the person at the cash register isn't a master hacker trying to accumulate your data. So if you just do that, same thing. I never go to the bank. I'll go to the bank to deposit checks, but I never go to the ATM. In general, if I need cash, I'm usually at a grocery store or at Target, and I'm making a purchase, and they say, do you want some cash back? And I'm like, yep.
I just never have cash, ever.
I seldom have cash. I usually use cards. But no, that's the thing. And they said, if you're looking for skimmers, odds are there's going to be physical signs.
Right.
So they said, if you are using an ATM, look for scuff marks, look for weird glue. If there's a bank of ATMs, just quickly look at all of them to make sure they look the same. And if one of them doesn't, don't use that ATM, because someone might have modified it. Because all it takes, I mean, if someone knows what they're doing, I mean, it's, they just need to put on a ski mask so they're not seen on the camera, or cover up the camera somehow,
or step up their game, man. That's what they got to do.
All they got to do is like go up and swap out one plastic piece. It's going to take them 2 minutes, and then they can start accumulating credit card data.
Did you guys see the RFID guys? There's like dudes with a backpack that have RFID readers, and then they just walk through the mall. Mm-mm. And it takes all your stuff. Like, Mythbusters tried to do an episode on RFID security and to show it, and they got put down, and they, like, I don't know who contacted them, but the powers that be did not allow the show to air because it would incite panic because they're that insecure.
Yeah.
Wow. So those RFID chips on your card, like the ones that have the RFID, like your FastPass, you know, Chevron card and the Visas that have those.
Right.
It's not that chip. That chip's for security, but there's some other ones that they use RFID on, and all kinds of things use it.
Well, there's cards where you can just tap the card on the
thing. Those are the FastPass.
The FastPass.
Apple Pay and all that stuff.
You can walk by within like just a couple feet, a normal comfort zone, just with like a laptop bag over his shoulder or a backpack, and they just walk past. It collects it, gets all the information and puts it in a file, just walks through the mall, walk down a busy city street, and then go home.
Then
get open the laptop, and everybody's card numbers are there. Everything is there. So that's another thing where it's weird. Like, trying to put a security measure in place actually caused the vulnerability. Like, It's weird, you know?
There's just so many scams. There's so many scams out there. I read about one, and I read about this one quite a while ago, and I think about it because I work at a college, but one scam that people do is they'll go to big colleges with big libraries, and people will take an actual Starbucks cup, and inside the Starbucks cup, they have a battery-powered router.
That was rad. I saw that.
Acts like
I appreciate that one.
So, like, you get in, and if I'm sitting at UCLA, and I get on my laptop, and it says, you know, UCLA, you know, whatever, I just call mine the same exact thing. And
somebody's using your router.
Half the people in the library are now on my router, and yes, I can see everything they're doing. So if they log into their student account, if they check their bank balance, if they look at their cell phone stuff.
I saw a really cool one that did that.
If you're on my router and you've clicked, like a page comes up and says, I give authority to have them see everything.
Well, it's cool. The first thing everyone did, I watched that thing where a guy went to a Starbucks. He had the coffee cup with the router antenna. And what he did was he hosted like a PHP web page of just the front login page. Like he just scraped the code or scrubbed the code for Facebook and Instagram, B of A. He did all the main ones that would go so that when you logged on, he was hosting those pages, but just the front page.
Yeah.
So what would happen is you would go sit down and it said Starbucks free Wi-Fi, and you would connect to the Starbucks free Wi-Fi, immediately open Facebook, go to log in, and it wouldn't have your password stored for some reason. Be like, that's weird. And then you type in your name, type in your password, it just logged it. And then you do it again. And so he's got a couple chances at and it just says page can't be displayed. And I'm like, well, that sucks. Let me try a different website. Let's see if I can take care of that bank transfer. B of A, login. Instagram, login. Oh, none of them are working. This Wi-Fi sucks. Meanwhile, that you just got all your login credentials just by you connecting. So public Wi-Fi is a sketchy thing.
It is a sketchy thing. Yeah. I mean, I use it. I use public Wi-Fi all the time, but I don't use it for anything that matters.
It's about being smart too. Like, don't go transfer money and stuff on public Wi-Fi.
Right.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if you have a cell phone, use your cell service.
Exactly. The fact of the matter is, if you have a cell, if you really need to do a bank transaction and you have a smartphone, turn the Wi-Fi off of your smartphone so you're just using data going through the cell tower, and then do your transaction on the phone. Can someone hack the raw data that's going on your phone? Yes, they can.
Way less likely,
but that's a much more difficult hack, and they're not going to bother.
And that's what I said about in the beginning about, you know, people who are getting viruses on their computer. You're clicking, oh, my Mac needs to be cleaned. Okay. And you just installed a virus, you know? So these things are happening to people and not even knowing it because they're being social engineered. You're being told one thing.
And so much of it is just about being smart. Yeah. I mean, I went a couple of months ago, I was going to watch something on YouTube and I typed in youtube.com and hit enter, but my hands got away from themselves and they typed
YouTube.
Like utb.com or something. Yeah. So this thing popped up that looked kind of YouTube-esque, and it was all this thing asking me to click okay to do this thing because YouTube's, and if I would have clicked okay, God knows what would have happened to my computer because I clicked it. And I was so paranoid, I didn't even want to click the close button. I just did a Control-Alt-Delete.
That's shut exactly down
the entire feature.
You have to.
And it was just because I spelled YouTube wrong. And then, you know, 90% of the people out there would have been like, oh, that's weird. I went to YouTube and this thing, oh, click okay.
Yeah. I see it happen every day. And if I can give anyone any advice, for one huge thing that I've learned in my industry is don't save your passwords in your browser. I know it's really convenient and everybody wants to do it.
Right.
But
I don't do that. That's one thing
you guys can hand me your computer. And with one tool and one click, I can see every single password on there. The only reason I know it is because old people don't ever remember their email passwords at all. And I was like amazed that that tool does that. And it's a legit, just simple tool that anyone can download, and you run it and it shows every password you ever typed into your browser. It's wild how scary it is. But yeah, don't save your passwords.
All right, we're going to take another break. This is the Sofa King podcast on Savage Radio.
Sandrini's Italian and Basque restaurant, located at 1918 I Street, offers a diverse selection of Italian and Basque delicacies, beer and whiskeys from around the world, and live music every weekend. For more information about concerts and events, you can follow Sandrini's at facebook.com/Sandrini's Bar. Or call them at 661-322-8900.
Bonnie's Best Cafe. Freshly made sandwiches, salads, soups, and desserts featuring homestyle casserole dinners to go. Bonnie's Best Cafe has two locations to serve you. 1900 21st Street, open Monday through Friday 9 to 5 for sandwiches and until 6 p.m. for casseroles. 1002 19th Street is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Phone number is 661-323-7224. And the website is bonniesbestcafe.com for their current menus. Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Sofa King podcast radio edition here on Savage Radio. As always, if you like what you hear, you can listen to us on sofakingpodcast.com, and you can listen to our episodes. We do one a week here on the radio, and we do one a week that's just online.
Yep. Subscribe to us on iTunes. We are on iTunes. If you don't have iTunes, you can get Podcast Addict on your phone. There's a bunch of different things you can do.
I don't have iTunes because I hate it, and I get it on.
And if you want to listen to us, just hit us up. If you have some technical difficulty trying to subscribe or can't figure it out, hit us up on Facebook.
Yep, we will help you out. Yep. So we're talking about credit card fraud, different identity theft, and so forth. And I think a basic thing to talk about is also the fact that you have every right to be paranoid. You should be paranoid about your data. You should be paranoid about all this stuff. But at the same time, you shouldn't think that someone is trying to get your information.
Yeah. Right? It's just like people are
trying to get information where they can. And if it happens to be yours, it happens to be yours.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who are super paranoid about their computer and they do all this stuff because they're like, well, you know, someone keeps trying to hack me. And it's like,
every customer that has a virus thinks they've been hacked. Yeah. And I'm like, no one logged on. I mean, it may be, but it is a rare event.
There's no
someone would take the time to hack you.
Yeah.
And if a competent hacker is taking the time to hack you, there is nothing that you can do to stop them. Yeah. You are not good enough to stop them.
Just keep nothing in your bank account. Keep all your credit cards maxed out. Nobody can take anything.
That's right.
You steal my identity, you're screwed.
Keep all your money in tin cans, buried in other people's lawns.
Yeah.
And you should be good. But a friend of mine did some time in prison, and he met a guy there, totally cool, like middle class, middle aged guy. You would never even think the guy was a criminal of any sort. And he had this scam. He came up with a way that he could get a credit card. And he could simultaneously run the credit card so that he would max it out simultaneously 10 times in a row at different banks.
Wow.
So if you still had $4,000 of credit on your card, in 1 second, he would have, because he would do it 10 times instantly. He would just instantly
before they could read anything.
So he would instantly have $40,000 in cash because you had $4,000. He could do it 10. He might be able to do it 20 times before the bank stopped it. And he wouldn't even, I mean, the guy was genius. He didn't like steal wallets. He didn't like he would go to a bar in a touristy area in New York City, and he would buy some drinks to a couple or some dude or whatever and start talking. And after he built up some trust, he would say, look, this is what I do for a living. If you give me your credit card right now, I will take it away. I will give you, tell me how much is left on your credit card. I will give you 10 times that amount of money in cash right now. And in 1 hour, you report your card stolen.
Wow.
And they would give it to him.
He's just straight up front and honest.
Just upfront and honest. And people would be like, you're serious. He's like, I'm serious. He was like, how much is on your card? And they'd be like, $2,000. And he'd be like, here's $20,000. Here's $20,000 right now. Give me your card.
What do you do, Dave?
I'd give him the card. Like, I mean, how?
That's tough.
You give him the card. He gives you the cash. He walks away. He gets $80,000 on the card, but he gave you 20. He just pocketed 60 grand to have a couple of cocktails and butter up the right guy and walk away with the card. And then he shreds it and drops it in a bin. And he's never going to get called on because the person is complicit. They're in on it. They gave him the card. I don't know how he finally got busted, but he got busted for some variation of the scam. And my friend was like,
he probably tried to get risky, edgy.
Picked the wrong person, picked a cop, did something. Yeah. But the courts couldn't prove most of what he did. Like, I mean,
because they didn't understand.
What he did. And
well, he wasn't directly connected to it. I wonder where the money went, though. Like, how did he get the cash? Yeah. Where did that go?
That went to overseas bank accounts.
Oh, okay.
And he was doing like a 10-year sentence. And he told my friend, like, so, you know, I've got like three years left.
You got any credit cards?
He's like, I've got 3 years left on my sentence. He's like, I'm going to get out of jail at 40 and I am never going to be able, I'm never going to have to work a day again in my life.
Because he gets to keep the money. A rich man.
So he did all that stuff.
He did it for years.
Made so much money. Did 10 years in prison. Now he's set for life.
He said, I can never come back to America because I can never spend any of that money or let America know that money exists. But he said, if I move to one of a dozen gorgeous countries, I will die a rich man.
If there's maintenance involved, like if you got, you know, $20 million sitting in some offshore account and there's no activity for 10 years.
Yeah, but you're creating interest too. I mean, depending on how
you set it up. Are they just like, this guy hasn't come here in 10 years. Does something happen? Like, is it default?
I don't think so. You gotta have grandma call in and check on it. Those accounts are set up to house money and not be touched, you know, like those.
And the bank doesn't want to do any. It's like, if you just want to keep generating interest that we're going to make money off of, like forever, I'm cool with that.
I saw one very similar to that. I'll make it quick, but there was one corporate fraud where they do corporate identity theft or something where they steal corporate checks, get mailed or something, and the courier knows these checks are for like $150,000, right? And it's to Dave Moten at BJ Services for lack of a better company, right?
Okay.
So the courier sells the check to a guy. The guy gets the check. He goes and creates a utility bill and identity and all the things he needs to open a bank account under BJ Services President Dave Moten. Then he opens an offshore account with it, goes and opens like a mailbox or something that he has to have. And then once he has all that stuff established, he just sends the check to them and they cash it. And that's
I think that just happened to me. The Gardner check hasn't cleared in like 2 months. That probably happened.
Someone got away with $80.
Yeah. No, $35.
Your Gardner is $35?
Yeah.
What kind of gardener do you have?
Dude, there's a drought. People are dropping their gardeners like crazy.
You went out and strong-armed them. You're like, look, man.
Look, bro.
you do not pay $35.
Yes, Mr. Brad. Yeah, I do. $35? I wouldn't pay any more.
That is insane. Gardeners are like $70.
No, I ain't paying $70. I'll do it myself.
What does he do? Just the front?
Yeah, it does the front.
Oh, that's why it's just the front.
And all that stuff. 35? No, he told me $45 front and back. So
that's crazy.
You better hand out that car to your friends. Yeah. That is insane. Gas costs more than that for that poor guy.
Yeah.
Enjoy it while it lasts. He's going out of business. No. That's not going to last long.
No, he's been doing it for a long time now.
They also got a nice truck. The thing, because I had a gardener a while ago and I was like trying to just like find, I was just trying to find somebody in the phone book and I found a guy and they did a good job and everything, but they charged a lot more money. But then I realized, if I just get this guy who's doing my neighbor's lawn on Tuesday at 10, like you're already here. You're going to be here at 10.
Yeah.
It's going to take you about 7 more minutes to do mine than it is.
Yeah, they just whip around, do that.
It's like they
yours.
Just whip around, do them at the same exact time, and then they charge you a much lower rate.
I was a pool guy. I would not have gave you a discount though. I wouldn't. Yeah, I'd be like, nah, I'm here, but I still got
to
do it.
That's what gardeners do, because the neighbor, you know, talked to you and said, oh, hey, you know, my neighbor wants it done too. You know, where you give him a good price. Oh yeah, $35.
I bet that gardener's like, trying to butter you up with that $35.
No, I've had him for like a long time.
He's
going to
somehow steal your identity.
No, I've had him a long time. So
he's going to buy a McLean front throw.
So the gardener's going to steal.
He's
my
reading
identity.
Your mail and
yeah.
That's fine. Like I said, steal my identity. I'll steal somebody else's. Probably be better off. I'll steal Brent's.
Yeah, I might be better off.
Yeah.
I mean, another thing that we could talk about is fishing
next week.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Oh,
yeah,
nice. We have music fading, and I was going to talk fishing, but I guess we're going to save that for next week. So next week, we scared you this week with what's wrong. Next week, we're going to try to tell you how to fix it.
Yeah. So this is the Sofa King podcast.
Brad's a retard.
Savage Radio. Brent's mom. No, she's nice.
She's a real nice lady.
Right. Go there. Check us out online, Facebook. That's it. Don't be retarded.